Welcome to the Venus Index podcast. I'm John Barbin. With me is Naomi Sandoval. She placed third in the Open Level 2 competition, which I guess is in the last contest, that was sort of our only winners only type of competition. So if you're listening on iTunes, go over to venusindex.com and check out her picks. Me and Naomi actually met up in Atlanta with Alan Elliott, one of the Adonis Level 2 winners. We did some video shooting and a couple of other, we just hung out for the weekend. So thanks for being on the call. And let's, so for people who aren't aware, some newbies, like Naomi's been with the community for a while and placed in a previous contest. So you've got, you're already mentioning something about what this last year was like. So you can go to her previous podcast to get her backstory and hear chicken, lay an egg. And then why don't you just, I don't know, start wherever you want to start on what it was like getting up to this last competition.
Okay, sounds good. Let's see. So when the previous contest completed, I had it in my mind that I would just go right on to the next contest because that's kind of the mode that I had been in. I had been jumping from transformation contest to transformation, finally to your open. And I think at that point when the contest ended a couple of weeks later, you said that the open level winners would only be eligible for a contest that was a year later. And I have to admit, I guess I was a little bit contest addicted at that point. Like, that was what I was using to set my focus and goals. Mm. So it messed with my mind a little bit, because on the one level I thought, you know, I have nothing to shoot for. I don't know what I'm doing. I felt cast adrift. And at the same time, it sort of said, well, you know what? A year is a good time frame, because at that point it's recomp, and you know, what are you really going to accomplish in 3 months when you're already pretty close to your ideal ratio, right? So,
right, you know, just for people listening, recomp is basically another way of saying not a lot of fat to lose anymore, mostly muscle to build, which just takes time.
Takes time, and so that's how I reset my goals. And just let me get it in there. I guess I didn't really understand what was possible in a year. Like, even a year later, when I put up my best from the first Venus contest and then my best a year later, I wasn't sure initially that I could even see a difference. And then I looked at Alan Elliott's pictures that he put up with even a longer gap. I don't know if it's 2 years or 3 years. And it's, I guess it was just sort of a wake-up call to me that, you know, you're not going to make, certainly not close on changes, and not even changes that most people would appreciate.
Yeah, no, and like you said, close on changes, that's the kicker. You could like Alan Elliott was a good example, but like at this point, you could go a year and really improve via photo shoot wise, but in close, no one around you will ever notice the difference, and you won't notice the difference on yourself. Everything will fit about the same. You'll feel kind of the same. It's really just the photo shoot that's going to show off that something changed.
Exactly. Yeah. And I do. And I posted on Facebook and people did see a difference in the pictures, and I do see it, but it's subtle. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Like I saved some pictures online of people that motivated me and things that I was hoping to achieve. And I can see that, yes, I moved slightly in those directions, but you know, that could be 5 years down the line. Some of the things that I'm looking for, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. And I don't know what else is. It just requires patience, or I think that's part of why people have a hard time getting in shape and staying in shape, because, like, an initial weight loss for people who have weight to lose can happen relatively quickly, and then you can see it, and then there's all this feedback of people like, "Oh my God, you lost so much weight," and all this stuff, and then like what you were saying, recomp, that's like super slow going. And people don't notice anything changing. Like you said, clothes on look doesn't change. So it's just sort of like you're the only person that even knows. So you get like there's no feedback anymore. The changes are like months apart. Like you have to take pictures just to notice. And then all of a sudden it's like, what, you know, am I really doing this? Is something really happening? Like, did you get that feeling? Like you're wondering like month to month if anything's even happening?
Yeah. And then the other thing is, because while you're doing the transformation, people see it. And you can get away with posting pictures. That's okay. And people can say, wow, great, great, great progress. Look at all the change. But when you're looking for recomp, you can't ask. You can't solicit feedback. You can't really post because it's too vain,
Oh,
right?
that's
And,
a good
and
point. Yeah, I didn't think
self-absorbed.
of that. Yeah.
So you're working in a vacuum.
Yeah, well,
So
unless you're working with, unless you, did you at least have a couple people you could talk to who sort of understood what you were doing?
I am very, very, very lucky that I do have that. I created that because Al is also doing the Adonis program now, and so that's been great. So it's really kind of funny. Like if you had a, if you're a fly on the wall in our house a couple of years ago, and we were on such different pages, and then fast forward to the last year, it's hysterical how different the conversations around here are. Like normal couple conversations that would not be acceptable are perfectly acceptable here. Oh, you put a little bit on over there. Oh, you gotta watch that. Normally a woman would smack a man for that, but I'm actually grateful.
Well, yeah, and it's not meant in any, it's almost like you allowed that that's a conversation that's okay to have.
Yes, welcome. It's definitely welcome. It's not like I'm saying how's my butt look. It's more like I appreciate you pointing out that I'm sliding or improving,
Yeah. Yeah, it's just someone else is noticing what you're doing and helping you give you feedback. I mean, what else can it be? Yeah.
it's great. And so that has been helpful, and we've been there for each other in that way because Al is definitely also working on similar things to what I'm
Yeah,
working
he's
on.
basically at recomp level too. There's not really much, he doesn't have any weight to really get rid of per se.
No, but like I do, he struggles with it,
Yeah, everybody
day
does
to
to some
day.
degree.
Yeah, true.
All
True.
right, so you basically this whole year was kind of you like to get all the way to this. Yeah, because for people who don't realize, like whenever the competition you were in a year ago, I announced that you'd be eligible for level two, but then you had to wait a whole year to compete in it. So you took the whole year to move towards it.
I took the whole year to move towards it, and because I had no actual idea what the judging criteria would be, I figured I would just go for what I wanted. And that makes sense. When you're looking a year down the road, it's if you're looking a couple of weeks, you could think about like somebody else wants it. But if you're looking for a year down the road, it's got to be please yourself.
Oh yeah, that's
So
way
this,
too long to be like on edge wondering if you're doing something right or wrong.
right. So I used some of the form tools to set up goals and plans for myself, and that was fun. Hidden away in the somewhere in the blogs, there was a way to create documents or something. So I was using that. And by the way, I have to just put a shout out for blogging because I think that is the coolest thing ever. Just the fact that you can be it's like a complete dump in a way that people who are interested can see it, but it doesn't have to be something so public like Facebook where it would just look too self-absorbed,
Yeah, you mean the
So,
forum blogs? Or your real blog?
yeah. No, I mean the forum blogs.
Yeah, so you put it there. People who want to will come browse, and if not, but you still get it off your chest, right?
Yeah, it's great. And I'm one of those people that writing really helps me get my thoughts gelled. I sometimes don't know exactly what I'm going to say, and then the process of interacting with writing really helps me figure things out and plan, and yeah, it's just
I
helpful.
think that I don't I think anyone who's never t attempted a blog should really try it, because what you just said is exactly what happens. The minute you need to take a thought out of your head and put it in words that somebody can understand, the act of doing that alone really forces you to clarify what you're thinking about.
Absolutely.
Even if
Yeah.
no one ever reads it, the exercise alone of getting thoughts out of your head and onto like into the written word really helps.
That. I couldn't have said
Yeah,
it
well, so anyone listening, if you haven't done it, you should try it just for your own, like, who cares if someone reads it? It's useful just for yourself. So
And
that's
just
what the
because no one comments doesn't mean that people aren't reading it.
I wouldn't be, yeah, don't d you don't need to be sort of that's it's not, yeah, the usefulness of the blog has nothing to do with whether or not anyone reads or comments. People will read, that's fine, but it's really mostly for yourself. Is the whole point of it. Yeah.
I agree. I agree. So the goals that I set for myself were to increase my shoulders and my glutes because those were the areas that really, really were lacking. There's no nice way to say it. I had a pancake butt, And
Oh, man.
I know. I'm thinking if they put up these pictures of all the different butt shapes, pears and teardrops, and I don't
Yeah.
know. Yeah, we had nothing going on back there. And the shoulders just have always been under, so increasing that number. But I was dealing with a shoulder injury, long-term shoulder injury. And then the other thing was just to flatten out the abs a little bit, which I learned after my transformation wasn't just fat. It's also digestion and gut health. And so a lot of my work was just a whole nutritional thing, just trying to heal that and deal with all that stuff, which I think a lot of people would identify with. So I'm sharing it because I think it will help people.
All right, we'll get into that then. Like, what, you got any specifics that you kind of learned along the way with respect to that?
Yeah, I think that a lot of people in a lot of our modern cultures are suffering from bad gut health and bloating and gas and reactions to food. And I'm not going to say it's allergies, but if a food makes you react and you bloat up, it makes life unpleasant, especially when you're leaner, and especially when you're going to an event and you have something very form-fitting on. You don't want your belly poofing out. So to me, it could take all the fun out of life because it's like, okay, so I've fasted. Now I want to go and enjoy this event, but I can't eat that. I can't eat that. And I'm winding up sitting there feeling miserable and not having a good time because I'm dealing with all this belly stuff going on. So for me, to make a long story short, what I did was I gave up certain foods. I think the main things being wheat and sugar for a long period of time. And I followed through with a healthcare specialist who was just guiding me on some supplements to take, just trying to heal the gut health. And I did that for about 9 months, and it really helped. I'm not going to say that everything is all better now, but I just feel like I think these are probably foods that I need to stay away from because I think the problems come back when I put them back in. But
Right, and
it's
that's.
nice.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, and that's well. That's how you know when you put them back, and the stuff, the problems come back. Then you're kind of, there's your test.
Yeah. So anyway, that was something that I was willing to commit to, and I'm glad I did. And something that I've struggled with my entire life. And going back to my entire life, again with the Venus program, my entire life I have always wanted the look that I have now. And so this was just a piece of that for me. So to my way of thinking, this all fit into my year plan,
Yeah,
working on
well,
the
yeah,
gut
th and
health.
that's a pretty important narrative because I don't think people realize that. Yeah, like we always say, calories are calories, which they are from a fat loss standpoint, but that still doesn't answer whether or not you can tolerate certain foods and how it makes you feel, and if it does bloat you. Yeah, that's not fat or anything, but still like something that's uncomfortable and you don't like the way it looks. So you still have to, if that is something that you're, if this st message is resonating, then yeah, you got to investigate. And you just went after a couple of things that were are relatively common, right? Like wheat's pretty common. It's one of the most common allergens. Soy is another one. There's a few others. Casein protein is one. Obviously peanuts, and there's a few others. And so if you just work your way through, like the simplest, what a lot of people do, the simplest thing is they just work their way through the most common allergens and see how they react to them. And just like what you did, you take them out, and if you're diligent, you can get them right out. Then you. So be sure you put them back, and then if you react again, you're like, oh, well, that's one of the ones I'm reacting to. And then from there, it's just, like you said, you make the decision. You're like, yeah, I'll live without that because I don't like what it does to me.
Yeah, I'm not willing to make that kind of a commitment for life just because it's a pain in the butt socially. Wheat and sugar, you can't leave the house and not have those.
Can
It's
you have at
really
least a
hard.
little bit? Is it like a threshold?
It's a threshold for sure.
Right,
And
so.
it's a threshold over a few days too.
Oh, interesting.
So if I know if I have something coming up, I can cut them completely and then I'll probably be fine.
Oh, right, so you stay clear for a while, then you can consume them at, like, a wedding or some sort of event and sort of get out of there okay. Yeah, well, then that's a better way to do it, right? So then it doesn't affect your social life. You do all the hard work
Exactly.
when you're on your own, not when you're social.
Yeah, still working on
Yeah.
that.
Well, but in general, that's like how this that's the best way to make this all work. All right. So, well, what else? What other insights did you learn like along the way?
Another big insight was muscle activation. What I'm saying. So I did not really understand for a long time that my glutes weren't firing. So even by the end of the first contest, no glutes firing, not happening. So I did some remedial work there with hamstring stretching and starting with some body weight stuff and then some different exercises, hip thrusts, just to get them firing. And a lot of people over on the internet are doing this work, so you can find it out. But just what I want to say, fast forwarding to the present, I was sick after the end of the current contest and like really sick and couldn't lift at all. And so it's interesting now going back to the gym and not doing anything specific for glutes and the difference from a year ago. Any workout that I do now, I'm sore because I'm like a brand new newbie again, right? So I do the workout and then like the next day I can see exactly what I hit.
Oh, I see,
And
yeah.
so just to do an exercise that has some, I'm sorry, just to do a workout that has some glute work in it. And yes, absolutely, just like as written, you know, not anything special. And to come out and find exactly the right muscles are really, really, really sore is it's huge for me. Like everything is firing correctly now. It's not, I don't know, maybe it's that I improved my form because I've been working on that a lot,
Oh yeah,
but
hey, form comes and goes, and it also comes and goes with attention and effort and like if you're kind of mentally spent, your form's the first thing to go. And if you didn't even know what was supposed to be activating, it's like it takes years to figure form out. Like that's, and if, unless you've had someone teach you, a squat's not just a squat. It's like you're supposed to be flexing certain muscles throughout the range. So, kind of like when we were in Atlanta, I remember you mentioned you thought an exercise worked a particular muscle group, and I'm like, no, it's actually something else. And
yeah, that was my big dole moment. That was the
but
Bulgarian split squat. And I'm
it,
like,
but
yeah,
I
that's
mean,
glute hams, right?
but you do based on your form, you can make a muscle work or not work under a particular exercise. And now that sounds like, well, what's the point of that? Because then the exercise is meaningless depending on what muscle you flex. So you can. It's more like you. It's more like the activation pattern. If once you start getting it right, a given exercise is just better at activating the target muscle versus a secondary muscle. There's no such thing as an exercise that works one muscle, right? They work like a grouping. Like a, muscles work in concert. There's not. There's like 500 of them on your body, and you can't just flex one. You flex like a group of them, and then whichever work exercise works, the muscle you're hoping to work the most during that exercise is how good you activate that one muscle. And I don't, was it new, was it a new concept to you that certain muscles just, you have a real hard time activating them, like people in general?
That was a new concept to me, yeah. That you could be doing the same exact movement as someone else and it's not having the same results. But when you look around in the world and you see how many flat butts there are out there and how many kind of poochy little bellies, it all makes sense. Like the research that I did said that this is caused from sitting and getting short, tight hip flexors. And yeah, so it all makes sense now and I can understand why it's a common problem. We don't all have to have flat butts and why a real rounded butt is so rare these days. You know,
Oh yeah, it is
not one made of fat, one made of actual muscle.
yeah, and it's a side effect of inactivity and sitting and then unlearning how to fire it in the first place. Like that, I mean, a buddy, I have a few friends that do research in that area. Not the butt area, just in biomechanics. And they and that's what they see in their some of their studies. They see and they're doing just simple lifting studies where people just pick something up off the ground and put it on a table repeated times. And they're like, some people their butt they will their glutes will not engage at all in the lift. They'll their body will use their neuromuscular system, whatever you want to call it, will recruit hamstrings and quad and whatever to get it going lower back, but glutes will hardly be involved at all. Whereas somebody
That was
else
me.
can activate glute and they're being asked to do the same task.
That was me. And just to put this in perspective, in my 20s, I made myself a challenge to do something better than men, since women have a chance with lower body strength to best men. I thought, well, I'm going to use the leg press machine, and I see guys over there putting however many plates on and maxing it out. And so I made that a personal challenge, right? Just between me, myself, and I. And I did do that. Like over the next year or so, I maxed out the leg press machine. And I had huge, huge, huge thighs and no butt. like no butt muscles, no
Oh yeah,
glutes at all.
leg
They
press is
still aren't turned.
never gonna get your glutes involved.
Right. So, you know, but with that level of strength and still
Oh yeah, no, I see what you're saying.
misfiring.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not engaging them, you're not engaging them. There's nothing you can,
Yeah.
you have to learn. And that's the
Cool.
thing, I don't think people realize that can be learned and unlearned. Like that's.
And by the way, this is the kind of stuff that has always gotten me through the gym workout. Like I'm very in my head when I'm lifting. I like to be alone and focus, and sometimes occasionally work with a trainer to improve on this stuff. And then, like to me, one session with a trainer, I'm good for 6 months to a year because I'm working on the stuff that I learned from that. So it's probably minutia to most people, but this is the best. I love this stuff, you know,
You know, I don't
just
think
the
so. What
fine-tuning.
you just said is important. Like, that's like you just said, one session. If the trainer really knows how to teach you something, it should take you that many months to groove it, to get it right. Just because you learned it one session, you got to keep going. You got to like get those patterns firing like to the point where it's subconscious. Like you don't have to. You want to get it to as close to not thinking about it as possible, and then you move on to the next
Yeah.
task, right?
Right. So I'm definitely right back in my head now because of something that I learned from a trainer. So
Sure. So there's, oh,
I
no,
thought a lot of.
there's nothing wrong with
Go ahead.
that. What I'm saying is that's what it takes to get that neuromuscular pattern going, especially
Oh,
'cause you're
yeah.
trying to learn one, right?
Yeah. So the thing that I'm working on now is what I thought was a shoulder injury. I could barely do a push-up, and all these things were hurting me. Bench press was hurting me, and I was not increasing shoulder strength, and I thought I had this chronic shoulder issue, right? And I went to chiropractor, I went to a couple of different trainers, and I finally, this one trainer found, and I think I mentioned it to you, she just found that when I was doing things like overhead press, I wasn't tucking my pelvis under enough. And we're talking like a quarter of an inch difference here.
Oh,
And
she
it's,
looked at a totally different area,
yeah, and I never in a million years would have caught that.
yeah.
And bam, shoulder injury goes away. So there's no shoulder injury, it's just bad form.
Yeah. And it just goes to show you the whole kinetic chain matters, right? Like from your feet to your knees, the whole leg bones connected to the hip bone thing that the kids sing. It's true, right? Like it starts right at your feet. I had a chronic nagging injury in my left shoulder, my like kind of in the middle of my scapula trap area. And when I went to the guy who works on balancing me out, he found that the problem was in my left ankle. And he's like, oh yeah. And he's like, well, because I twisted my ankle and it went real bad. But this shoulder injury has been around for a while, and he's like, "Oh, it makes sense that you've had that injury because that's been your weak ankle all along, and it makes sense that that's the one you twisted." And he's
Yeah.
like, "Oh yeah, until you get that ankles like the ankle stability and strength up in a particular muscle, he's like, you're gonna always have that injury and that pain in your shoulder won't go away." And so I started doing his. This is the guy that's gonna do the muscle balancing book for us. But anyways, he's I started in on these. These exercises, and then the knot in my shoulder went away in about 6 weeks.
That's great.
And there was no direct therapy on my shoulder. It was all, he's like, it won't, because I told him every time I walk on the treadmill longer than about 45 minutes, the shoulder's just on fire, and I'm not holding on to anything. It's just the normal swing of my arms. And he's like, oh yeah, that's never gonna go away until you straighten your ankle out. And
And do you still have a strength imbalance?
no, because I
Like, are
work on
you?
it constantly. Like I have to do these
Oh,
little
that's
ankle
cool.
exercises. Like when he gave me assigned them to me, and I'm like, "Oh, how often do I do those?" He's like, "What do you mean? That's it every day." I'm like, "When do I stop?" He's like, "No, you don't stop. That's every day at the end of your workout. That's not even. And if you're not working out, this at the end of the day, you do that exercise." I'm like, "Oh, so that's just what I do now." He's like, "Well, unless you want that pain to come back, yeah." And it doesn't take long. It takes a few minutes, but it's just the point that it has to be done. And so and then the trade-off is fine, don't do it, and then deal with the shoulder pain. Like that's your two options. I'm like, well, the pain kind of sucks, so I'll train the ankle. And that's it. There's nothing else to it. And we have like a lot of these little muscles that we kind of can't see like visually. They're like little ones that hold things that just stabilize things and your pelvis thing. Like he's got stuff for that too, right? And it's just all little things you wouldn't think about, but people like that trainer you saw and guys like. The guy that works with me, they just understand over time working with people and athletes. They're like, oh yeah, you've got a little, you know, and we all have like certain idiosyncrasies that are just characteristic to our body. Like some of us have more of a tilted pelvis, some of us walk with less of a tilted pelvis, some of us have flatter feet. Like just little things like that change what we need to focus on to stay sort of balanced and injury free. So and now you're just discovering that all of this matters, right? Like how your pelvis sits matters for if your shoulders are going to hurt during a shoulder press.
And another big piece of what matters is abs and core, and it's another area that it goes with the poor glute activation. I don't have the best activation or recruitment in some of my deep abdominal muscles, so I don't know that I've made a lot of headway there, but that is something that I'm definitely working on. I read, I don't know if you recommend it or not, The New Rules of Lifting for Abs, and personally, I thought there was a lot of good stuff. The nutrition I thought was not so good. I just skipped over that. But it was interesting, some of the exercises they had in there and ways to modify existing exercises. So sometimes I'll take something and switch it up, make it a little bit harder if I can do it with good form. It's super hard to check your form on all this stuff, but sometimes I'll take a look. So instead of toes on the ground, maybe the toes are on a bench or on a ball, or maybe the arms are on a ball or something like that, just switching stuff up. And then also, how to explain it? Using two different weights in your hands while doing something can
Oh
bring in
yeah.
more core
Yeah,
recruitment.
being I know what you mean. Like but kind of what offset asymmetrical whatever you want to call it. Yeah,
Yeah.
I know what you're saying though. There's a lot of different things you can do. The key is diagnostic, like having someone who has an idea of being able to identify what's sort of off. Like kind of like that trainer, right? You said you went to a bunch of people and that trainer is the only person who noticed what they examined your hip in relation to your shoulder injury. Or at least what
Yep.
seemed to be a shoulder injury. Same with the guy I go to. He, my shoulder problem, he figured out it was something going on in my ankle. So really to know where to bother attempting to relearn or strengthen or get a muscle firing, you gotta have someone who knows what muscle's not firing. 'Cause it won't be
And that's what
intuitive.
I'll do.
If I thought it was something in my shoulder, I'd still be trying to figure out why my shoulder hurts and I would have never guessed it's in my foot. So that's why I'm getting this guy to write a book for us, because he knows what he's doing, and he'll be able to straighten out a lot of problems on a lot of people.
Cool. All right, I'm going to go back to her when I'm ready. I'm not ready, but when my brain can take more, she tires me out mentally. Oof.
All right. Well, what else you got then? So that's we've learned about activation. We've learned about the kind of refocusing on recomp.
So the actual work. So we always talk about how hard we're working, and if you're supposed to do 8 reps, by the end of the 8th rep, this is how you should feel. And then I did cluster cycles, because it fit in well with my goals, especially getting some size around the shoulder measurement. And when I looked at it on paper, how it is to look at a workout on paper, but it's like, really? That's going to take about 4 hours of work, and it says don't do any additional work. That can't be right. That just can't be right. And it was. Like, I walked around every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I walked around so sore, whatever, if it was lower body. Forget about sitting up and sitting down. There's lots of groaning. Al did it with me. There's just lots of groaning and moaning around here. And then it switches upper body, lower body, upper body, lower body for a week. And then, trying to pick up a pencil the following week. Oh,
Were you
it
sore for
didn't
the whole
take
12 weeks
months.
or however many weeks?
It's 12 weeks. We made it through everything but the last 2 weeks. We both injured ourselves on the deadlift.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, you know what? 2 weeks from done, quit. Oh, we quit. Done. I good enough. We had such gains from that program because every week you watch your muscle index improve, and it's just very, very cool. But the contest start date, the January date was coming up quickly, and I thought, well, it's just that was late December, and I thought it's just as well. It's time to start cutting, and there's no cutting while you're on that program. There's no way. So yeah, we made it through a lot of it.
Yeah, it's
And I
pretty.
am actually very much looking forward to doing it again when I'm ready.
Yeah, I think I'll do a Venus one soon. Like a specific. It'll be similar, obviously, because it is very Venus friendly, because it's upper, lower, right? So it's
Yeah.
probably one of the most balanced upper, lower of the Adonis ones we have. So for people listening, Naomi kind of you and a few others explore the Adonis workouts, and we don't necessarily market them to girls. They can be done. It's just that one you got to be pretty advanced. You got to know your way around the gym and be ready for some pain for that one.
Yeah, and I did switch something up. I checked with you, and instead of focusing on bench press at the beginning, which especially because I was still at the point where I couldn't really do that, I subbed in pull downs for that.
Yeah, and that's fine. It can, and that's good. If you need to make a substitution, that's how you have to do it. So, kind of novel though, eh? Training all upper body one week and all lower body the next.
No.
Oh, have
That
you?
was, well, yeah, for a week, yeah, but I used to always do splits. Venus was novel for me.
Oh,
Doing a
really?
full body workout. Yeah, I've always
Oh,
done,
you've always done
you know,
bodybuilding
with,
splits. Oh, interesting. Well, yeah,
I always done it like a guy.
what's that?
I've always worked out like a guy. Monday is chest day. You wander into the gym on Monday, and it's a fresh start, and you go, oh, I'll go over to the bench press.
Yeah,
I
everyone
always
does
did
chest
that.
on Monday. Yeah,
Yeah, yeah.
every gym in North America, people are doing chest on Monday.
Yeah, well, great not to.
All right, so well, where else are we at? What advice do you have for people who are all the way up to, unless you have other notes, but I was just wondering what would you say to people who have gotten
Oh,
to the
quick
point
point
where
on
it's recomp and it's the slow progress?
yeah, almost about it. A quick point on pictures, which is in the past I've always done my pictures with a timer and done them myself, and it is so amazing having somebody who knows what they're looking for. One of the reasons that I did them myself is because Al was not doing the program yet, and so he wasn't taking. He didn't know what to look for, basically. And that's true of the professional photographer that I worked with as well. So I was just happier doing them myself. But this time I did the round of pictures and it's so exhausting. And then he said, these are not so good, I can do better. And he did. And man, what a difference it is working with somebody who knows what they're looking for and who's encouraging and fun. And I just wish I hadn't wasted my time and exhausted myself with the first photo shoot. And then the other thing that I want to say about pictures is a year ago when I did them, I was so exhausted, like I could barely pick up 5 pound dumbbells. And my strength this time, even though I was really depleted that final week, it was just so different. I could still do pull-ups, you know, I could still do reasonable things. We took some pictures at the gym for fun. And, you know, when you've got a bar on your shoulders and you're squatting and the photographer is saying, hold it, because you have a slow camera. I could do it. I mean, it was brutal. I was crying, gritting my teeth. That's not real smiles. That's teeth gritting. But yeah, just so much stronger, even depleted, than a year ago. So it's really neat to see that progress.
Yeah, and that's something you would notice.
Oh, and I just wanted to put in a plug for the drop cloth. I think I spent about $20 on my photo drop cloth, and it's huge. So, I think that helps a lot with the photos.
Sure.
Definitely worth doing. And then take home advice. So the thing that I wanted to say about figuring out goals, I somehow had it in my head that the goal was to get lighter and lighter, and I dieted my way down to a very low weight, and I didn't understand about the reverse taper diet, so I did wind up rebounding pretty badly, like 10 pounds. So the thing is that I wanted to say, it wasn't that that weight was good. Like when I saw what I looked like, I looked sickly and I got a little confused about my goals. And so I'm still trying to figure out what the scale has to do with anything. Because I come in similar weights to last contest and, you know, and I think I have a small window of what my happy weight is. But I don't know that it has that much to do with the scale. I don't know if this is making any sense.
No, it makes sense. I guess what you're getting at is eventually you need to. You'll have a rough. I mean, we all will. We all will have a rough window of where our conditioning sort of seems best. But then from there, it's who cares? It's like it's the look that matters.
And a big piece for me was letting go of the six pack. Like that was a strong goal for me. And I get now that that's never going to happen for me, and that if it did, it wouldn't be a good thing. It wouldn't look good. It would pretty much look awful on me. I know it can look okay on some women, but other women, if they actually do hit that, they look like men.
It's rare. It's rare for A, to achieve it without drugs, and B, for it to look feminine at all?
That's what I am finally really internalized. And then somewhere in there, you say to monitor your neck. And I did see my neck drop, and that corresponded with when I looked kind of gaunt and sickly. And I can understand when you're doing your transformation that it can be necessary to go through a stage where you haven't quite caught up and you do look a little awful. And that's probably when people start saying, hey, what's going on? Are you sick? But when you're doing recomp, I don't think that that should be part of it. I think that neck measurement, monitoring that is really important. Like if that drops, I think that's a wake-up call.
Yeah, you're pushing it too much and back off a bit.
Yeah. Oh, and one other thing that I wanted to say, because I wound up very sick and couldn't work out at all, I'm really getting reminded now, getting back to the gym. And this is probably one of those little things that people never really talk about, but working out really helps with depression. It really helps with the mood, and not just because of the endorphins, but just because I feel like I'm accomplishing something and working towards goals. And that's such a big piece of who I am. Just, having that part handled, and knowing that, yep, I'm doing what I need to do to keep that.
Oh yeah, we've had a lot of people report something similar. It's a lot of people that it's like it's therapy for them too. It's like it's a necessary moment of the day that they have to go do that, clear their head, all that stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. And then the music helps, If I do it, I listen to a podcast, then I've gotten the podcast in, which is, yeah, therapy, why not? And and if I've listened to music with a great beat, then that's helped my mood too, and yeah, it's all good. And looking at yourself in the mirror is not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, no, yeah. Well, hey, we all do it anyways, so might as well be
Yeah,
happy
well,
with what you're seeing.
that's the only time I do it. I don't, So yeah. Just a reminder, that's really, that's the only time I see myself in the mirror, really.
At the
So yeah,
gym.
it's good.
Yep. All right, well, that was pretty good. I think we can leave it at that. All right.
Thank you, John.
Well, thank you. So for Naomi Sandoval, I'm John Barvin, and that's your Venus Index podcast.